the place where today's trending stories meet common sense and intelligent insight.
Kind of what I feel like is a pretty balanced perspective.
And a few laughs along the way.
I like knowing things.
This is the Angie Austin and Mike Opelka Show.
Angie Austin, Mike Opelka, John LaBoutier joining us later in the program. We're going to talk about the North Korea summit. The location has been set. The Iran deal, what is going to happen with that? And Rudy Giuliani, will he be sticking around? And then, Mike, hello. Yet hello? Another nudist event. Really, do we need to go to a museum in Paris to look at the art and then people are nude? Like, it was an event to, like, you know, promote the tiny nudist community. It's like,
hey,
really?
Hey, they're not tiny nudists. They're normal sized people. I mean, depending on the temperature in the in the museum, things might shrink. You never know. But I think this is good. I think this is only.
No, it's not. I saw the pictures. It's not good. I want to see the art, not someone's rear end while I'm looking at the art. And as you mentioned, when you sit on the marble bench, you're in for a surprise if you're nude. And I didn't even think about that. And that to me sounds like a very unpleasant marble experience. I don't want marble to meet my behind.
No, and it's always cold. And you that kind of thing. Woo. And then the people that are naked, I don't want to have to look at butt prints on the marble bench. You know, if the person gets up and leaves, I want them to be handed one of these cleaner towels that they wipe down the bench like you do at the gym. Because I just think, you know, I don't want your naked butt on the bench. And then I have to follow you when I want to just spend time contemplating Monet's water lilies.
It's, and you know what? I am so with person who works for the Postal Service in Florida has refused to go into the nudist community to deliver mail because, you know, if everybody wants to come out, you know, if Bob wants to run down the driveway in a jog at the retirement home nudist community, I don't want to see him every day, okay? I don't need a personal greeting. Like, stay in your home while I deliver the mail. Come out after I pull away to go pick up your mail. So I'm not into the nudist thing. I think that we're meant to wear clothing. Hey, can we just switch the topic real quickly? We are going to talk about John McCain because you have a Twitter question and you've gotten a lot of flack because people think you shouldn't bring this topic up because he is sick. He's ill.
Yeah, John McCain's terminally ill. John McCain's a war hero, served this country so bravely in Vietnam, was just a man of valor and courage and honor, and I salute him for that. I don't agree with everything he's done in the Senate. And now that he's facing a really tough fight at the end of his life, he's terminally ill. He can't be in Washington. He's chosen to go home. And I think, in all honesty, John McCain should resign so the people of Arizona can actually have a senator who's there representing them. And a lot of people agreed. I think it was about 69% of the polling agreed with me. 28% said, no, let him be. And I just don't think that's fair. I understand you like John McCain. You want him to finish out his career as a senator, but he can't. It's going to be months and months and months that those votes will go without representation from Arizona. I just think it's wrong. And also, if you die in office, I don't think he's sticking around for this, but if you die in office, the senator's widow gets a full year's salary paid to her. And it's not even close to what we pay, the pittance of what we pay to the troops who pass away. So, John McCain, do the right thing once again for your nation and resign and let the mechanisms in place replace you.
You know, if a civilian was gone from their job for months and they knew that they weren't going to return, they would have to pay someone to replace them. So the fact that the people of Arizona aren't really going to be properly represented, it isn't fair. And people don't want to talk about it because he's terminally ill. But I think it's a discussion that should be had. Other headlines I want to mention, we are going to talk about Iran later in the program. Iran's president basically threatening, saying his country is ready if President Trump pulls the U.S. out of the 2015 nuclear deal.
This just in from Iran. Yes. It's Monday, right?
Yeah.
This is just in from Hassan Rouhani. Death to America. Okay, that's the latest news from Iran.
No, oh, because they have emojis now that say Death to America. Cute little pink emojis and a pink burqa. Have you seen those on their social media sites? Yeah, they do. All right. So GoDaddy does not want the alt-right's business. That's interesting. Johnny Cash in the news. So we'll talk about why his name is in the news. And President Trump wants to testify in the ongoing special counsel investigation. But Rudy Giuliani says that could create a lot of problems for the president. And then, of course,
it's a trap.
Kilauea is in the news as well, but looks like things are slowing down in terms of the lava flow through the neighborhood. Thankfully. And then Alyssa Milano, she's at an NRA event protesting the NRA, but guess whose armed guards are there, armed with weapons? Yeah, her guards. Mm-hmm. Angie Austin, Mike Opelka here. We've got some of the big headlines of the day. Politically, we're going to cover some of those with John Lebouttier coming up. Rudy Giuliani, of course, the Iran
deal. I'm offended by that. You know, it's like I don't have any political chops. You know, politically, we're going to cover it with John.
You know what? I was going to cover Mike's some other stuff here with you.
Mike's such a slacker. He doesn't.
You're offended by everything.
7 years in the politics end of things, or cover the convention. That's okay. Just keep
but
going.
If we cover that now, we're going to cover it again later.
Oh,
you're offended by everything.
I am not.
Oh, please. Yeah, he's just yelling out into the background. That's
why yelling into the background for effect.
Yes, it was like Gelman and what's his face. You know. Gelman and
I'll never forget what's his name.
Well, yeah, what's his name with Regis? Yeah, Regis and Kelly. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm already tired. You're already tiring me out. I was going to say I'm already tired of you, but that's really not that. That's not
true. Fair. That would be a Freudian slip.
Yes, it would be. Okay, so let's talk about. You want to talk about SNL here?
Sure. It was terrible. It was horrible. It was bad. And that's just not even including the opening.
Yeah.
Did you happen to torture yourself and watch it?
The whole thing? No, no.
Opening sketch is what everybody... I started getting text messages Sunday morning. Did you see SNL? Did you see the opening sketch? The cold open? Stormy Daniels was in the cold open. They had a porn star in the cold open. And I'm like, it's SNL. They're going to do everything they can do to attack the president. And they did. Ben Stiller was in that sketch. Jimmy Fallon showed up. It was a massive effort to discredit and diminish the president. That's really the only way you can look at it. And this all, especially the week after or the week of, Rob Schneider saying SNL's gotten too political and Alec Baldwin agreeing with him. But there's Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump. They did this whole sketch. You didn't see it. I'll just quickly summarize it. They did a whole sketch around the Michael Cohen dilemma and Rudy Giuliani kind of going off the reservation. And then at the end, the Michael Cohen character says, well, let's get Stormy on the phone. And Donald Trump jumps in and takes over the phone call. Well, here's a little bit of what happened.
Come on, Stormy, stop making such a big deal about this. Everyone knows it's just an act.
I work in adult films. We're not really known for our acting.
Just tell me, what do you need for this to all go away?
A resignation.
Yeah, right. Being president is like doing porn. Once you do it, it's hard to do anything else.
You know, I think that kind of exposed what their real motive is.
To get him to leave.
Yeah.
To get him ousted.
Yeah,
to resign.
And that judge who's hearing the Manafort case kind of said that this whole investigation seems to be pointed to that. But at the very end of it, Stormy issued this threat that everyone's talking about.
I solved North and South Korea. Why can't I solve us?
Sorry, Donald, it's too late for that. I know you don't believe in climate change, but a storm's a coming, baby.
And there was hooting and hollering from the audience, and they were all like, ooh, yeah. It's gotten so sophomoric, it's offensive on a few levels.
Yeah, I haven't watched the whole show in a while. It's kind of like many of the Hollywood award shows that are too political. And it's just, that's not why I'm tuning in. So it's just, I don't really go to my politics to get informed by porn stars or actors that dropped out of school in their junior year of high school because they wanted to head to Hollywood and, you know, work as a waiter until they got their big break. You know, I'm just, that's not usually where I go to get like my political information. And so that's not that I don't respect them in their line of work. Well, I don't know that I respect Stormy, but I mean, I'm talking about Hollywood actors.
I understand. I knew where you were going with
their work, but I don't think that they're experts in politics. So that's not really where I want to go to get my information. Oh, and speaking of actors and the NRA, and you had an interesting story in your prep about a Hollywood actress speaking at an anti-NRA rally, she had security guards. And they're armed, which cracks me up. It reminds me of, various people recently that are big name people and or politicians going to these events with security, and their security is armed and they're speaking out against guns.
Yeah. And it's the duplicitous nature of it, the hypocrisy of it that screams, hey, we're better than you. Listen to us. And it goes to what you were just saying about.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders recently did it. And now this is what, Alyssa Milano?
Alyssa Milano has been one of the loudest voices on the left saying we have to get rid of all guns, as she is protected by armed security at the NRA in Dallas. She wouldn't come inside despite being invited. Dana Lash, full disclosure, a friend. Dana invited her in, said, I'll give you a tour around. We'll sit down and talk. Dana also invited Shannon Watts of that Anytown USA, the Michael Bloomberg funded Get Guns Out of All of the Country movement. But Alyssa Milano held this rally, an anti-gun rally outside of the NRA Convention Center in Dallas. And one guy tried to ask, do you have armed security? Alyssa, do you have armed security? And lo and behold, what happens? The armed security comes up and moves the guy out of the park and throws him out of the park. So it is hypocrisy at the highest level.
Is your armed security allowed? Like some, random person's armed security. So Alyssa Milano, or if I had armed security, would my armed security be allowed to throw someone out of the park?
Well, it's questionable. And, she had a permit, I guess, for the event. So her security was deciding this guy was a disruption, and he was walking the guy back across a sidewalk. But Alyssa would never answer the question. Miss Milano, I don't know her well enough to call her Alyssa.
Yes.
She would never answer the question. And the armed security, it's just so contradictory to everything they're saying. And it goes right back to the fascism thing. And when we bring up the right to keep and bear arms, those of us who support the Second Amendment, we're called fascists, that we're fascists. And people don't understand that's not the definition of fascism. We just want to be able to protect ourselves and exercise our Second Amendment rights. But these folks, these fascists themselves, want everyone to have the same opinion. And if you don't have it, you have to be quiet. And you will be silenced if you don't listen to us.
I just think it's fascinating that people who speak out against guns then arrive to events with armed guards. You know, it's like, I don't want like you little people to have guns because like you people, first of all, like you're dumb and some of you probably are dangerous and probably many of you like crazy. So like, I don't want you to have guns, but these guys behind me, like they're trained in junk. And so like, they're like with me. And so like, I'm okay with like them having them, but not you little people. Cause like, if we have money, then like we can decide whether or not like we want to have guns. Cause we're like rich. Okay. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. We find guns disgusting, but money to hire people who will have guns to protect us from you people who want to have a gun, even though 99.999999% of crimes committed were not committed by people who are concealed carry permit holders. The murder rate of from concealed carry permit holders is lower by more than double than the murder rate in London, where you can't even get a gun.
blows my mind.
I know, that's a crazy statistic. But
hey,
but
we have a short amount of time here. May I just talk a little bit about Johnny Cash?
Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
Johnny Cash, one of my favorites of all time. I grew up with him. My dad, when he'd have wine in a box, sometimes would play Johnny Cash on the hi-fi. The hi-fi that we also used as a coffee table. It opened up, and then there was the hi-fi inside. Mm-hmm. And he could crank that baby when he was drinking wine in a box. But anyway, let's hear a little from Johnny Cash, and then I'll tell you what the big headline is.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine.
Oh, since I don't know when. I loved it when he sang with his sister, his wife and his wife's sisters.
June Carter Cash.
And the Carter girls, the Carter family, the mom could sing. They were amazing. The hymns that they would sing their voices were so pure. Oh, I loved it when they sang together. So anyway, his boyhood home is being added to the National Register of Historic Places. The Arkansas Historic Preservation Program announced over the weekend that his home near the Tennessee border, he lived there from about toddler age through high school, has been added to the register. And, you know, when we were looking back at when he passed away, 71, but, you know, I think he died young because he lost June. I just don't think he wanted to live without her.
I can understand that. You know, that's... so many real couples are like that. My parents were like that. He was just such a great talent. I'm glad we have all the recordings.
Me too. All right, I have some wacky news coming up. More places you can go naked coming up.
Yay!
Hello, friend Angie Austin and Mike Opelka. Mike's got a little weird news, and I've got two things I'm going to tell you about. First of all, remember last week my daughter was kind of, there was a boy on the basketball team who was calling her a ball hog, and a kid got hurt, and then they were kneeling, and he said, "I wouldn't kneel if you got hurt, Faith." And he's like twice as tall as she is. That's the funny thing, that he's so much bigger than she is, and he's like... telling her she keeps the ball too much or whatever. Then he wrote an apology letter. And then his dad this weekend, his dad and the basketball coach, they started yelling at each other during the game because the coach does not like us to yell at the kids because he says, "I'm the coach. I'm volunteering. If you want to coach, then come on out and you can be the coach." So, you know, that means my husband has to kind of be quiet and not yell quite so much. And you can yell a little, but he doesn't want you yelling to the point that the kids are listening to you, the parent, yelling and not the coach. So anyway, the coach yelled at the dad. And he's like, "Be quiet. I'm trying to coach over here. Would you let me coach?" And then I heard him yell something back. And then the coach said, "They can't hear me coach if you are yelling at them all the time." And then the wife apparently said, "You're not the coach, babe.
You're not the boss of me." That's how I would yell back.
My husband, I think, would have yelled back too, but I'm like, I understand the coach just wants to be able to coach and he's volunteering. Like, I really like our coach, you know, and the parent, he's harmless, and it didn't get nasty or anything, but the coach is just trying to be able to yell things to the kids. And it's frustrating when parents are giving instructions and the coach can't be heard. That's how he felt, I think.
I can understand that. You got, you know, all these kids and you have 37 coaches.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Because you got 10 kids on the team and then you've got, you know, 20 parents basically and grandparents, you know, so it's it's quite a few voices yelling. My husband yells just a couple of things to Hope because she forgets when her team has the ball, she's guarding the guy. And I'm like, "No, get open." And she keeps guarding the guy. And I'm like, "No, you have the ball. Like, get open." It's like hilarious. She gets confused by like who she's supposed to guard and when. Like, she tries to like stick to the guy like glue. And I'm like, "Wait, right now you're supposed to be away from the guy."
Maybe she likes the guy.
I don't know. All right, give me your weird news.
I got a couple of weird news stories. Okay. I did not win anything betting on the Kentucky Derby this weekend, although I did go and place a couple of bets Okay. I have no idea what I'm doing because I always go down and I look and see, okay, that's a weird name. And that guy I know, the trainer, is popular. So maybe I should, you know, I'm no science. But one woman placed an $18 bet on the Kentucky Derby day. When she did this thing, pick five, where you pick five winners. She won $18 bet, won $1.2 million.
That is mind-blowing.
How do you, it's the first time that happened. She won as much as the owners of the horse won.
Really?
Much. Yeah. Justify, the team took home $1.4 million. This lady, who they're not naming, but they did put a picture of her up online, so everybody at the office is going to know. She won $1.2 million on Saturday. Good for you, lady. She won at one of those small parks, racetrack where you can go and place a bet like I did in Delaware. So it's kind of exciting, right? You win $1.2 million.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but let's keep in mind all those other stories, like when my dad would go with his sister, Aunt Pam, to the track, and we'd be on vacation, and he'd get a little low on funds for, like, gas money on the way home. But one time we did win at the track, and I had placed a bet with my brother, even though, you know, we were underage. And so we were so excited, and we won a fair amount of money, and my dad's like, could I just borrow that till we get back home?
Need a little gas money. You know, you people can either walk or contribute. You big winners. There's a staying in the sports category. I'm a hockey fan, but my team ended its season early. My Chicago Blackhawks are in what's known as a rebuilding phase, which means
is that what it is? Yeah, right. Yeah. Is that what they call the rebuilding phase?
It's a rebuild. We're having a rebuilding year, which means you stink.
So I
am watching the playoffs, and the Boston Bruins are. They're in a little hot water. They're playing the Tampa Bay Lightning, and Tampa's a good team. Boston's a good team. But one of the guys on the Bruins is a guy named Brad Marchand, and Marchand is in trouble with the league. They've asked him, and I think this is the first time I've ever heard this, because when we talk about hockey, we always talk about what a rough and violent sport it is, right? You know, It's like I was at a boxing match and a hockey game broke out because guys are always getting into fights. Not so much anymore. This is the second time during the play that the Boston Bruins forward has been caught licking the face of an opposing player.
Why is he doing that?
You know, it's got to be. I'm thinking he's playing a mind game because he's done this before. In the first round, he went up to the Toronto Maple Leafs forward, Leo Komarov, and that happened after he licked his face, after he gave Komarov a kiss on the cheek in an earlier game during the regular season. So he's kind of done this. And I wonder if it just kind of freaks out the other guys. You know, maybe it's a head game.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. And he is a very good player. He may be one of the top 15 in the league right now when you look at his overall play. But the league actually said, look, can you stop licking guys? Because there's no penalty you can give someone for kissing or licking.
Okay. What is the fun? I think the funniest thing that came out of this is a fan in the crowd, and he has Marchand's jersey on, and then he has tape across the back, and it says Marchand, right? And yeah. So he is wearing one of those dog funnels that they put over the dog's head, the collar, so that you cannot lick or gnaw yourself. And so he's wearing his uniform, and he's got the dog cone around his head, the upside down funnel, so that he can't lick anyone. I thought that was so creative for him to punk Marchand with the dog collar
it's
funnel.
Fantastic. It's fantastic stuff. The NHL, but that's got to be one of the creepier stories of the weekend and sillier too.
And then, it's creepy. And my kids sometimes, okay, I'll admit this is not like one of my proud mom moments. They do that sometimes to mess with each other. Like, okay, mm-hmm. So Faith's littler and so she can't fight back the same way. And she and Riley get into it and he's in sixth grade and she's in third. And so like, maybe then she'll like lick his face, you know, and they think it's funny and it's like so gross. And the other kid is so like appalled. Like, it's worse than getting punched in the stomach to the kid that's received the lick. They're so disgusted by it. So I think it's like such a violation. It's not like spitting on someone, which is really offensive. Licking, though, is more personal, I think, and super gross.
Well, and it's also an alpha male kind of a thing. You're saying, mm-hmm. I'm so close to you, I can just lick. I don't have to spit on you. I can get right up on you, slobber
so
on him.
Weird. I'm looking at him doing it. It's just like, no, so
it's really
strange.
Weird. I've got one more short, weird story, and this one's infuriating. Now, I don't care if it happens in the morning or if you're having your afternoon tea. There's nothing better than a fresh poppy seed muffin, like a lemon poppy seed muffin.
Yeah, or an almond poppy seed with the almond flavoring.
Yeah, they're so good. And you open it up and the steam comes out. Mm. Well, the CDC has ruined poppy seed muffins for everybody.
Really? Why is the CDC messing with your muffin?
Yeah, really, CDC. But they're trying to get the word out about ticks and how small ticks are. And deer ticks are really teeny tiny things. They put a picture of a beautiful poppy seed muffin and said, ticks can be the size of a poppy seed. Can you spot all five ticks in this photo?
Kind of like, where's Waldo? Where are the ticks?
Yeah. And if you look real close, you can see them. But come on, CDC. You're creeping me out. You're wrecking my poppy seed muffin.
Well, I don't think they were like really pinpointing you. You know, I don't think they were just going after you and like your muffin. I think it was all of us. I think all of us, not just you. You're like my mother. She always thinks it's against her. I'm like, no, Mom, it's everyone. It's not just you. People are just going after you. All right, coming up, 10 habits of unlikable people. And what would you do if you found someone sleeping on your couch and they'd eaten all of your leftover Easter candy? Angie Austin, Mike Opelka, and political commentator John LeBoutier joining us. We're going to talk about Rudy Giuliani, the Iran deal, and the North Korea summit. And speaking of Iran, getting what I would say is not even a thinly veiled threat, a threat from the Iranian president saying his country has plans in place if President Trump decides to pull out of the 2015 nuclear deal. So, John, this is like a full-on, just, you know, not even thinly veiled. This is a full-on threat.
Oh, there's no question. And as Americans need to think about is, if we pull out of this agreement, what's the result going to be? And I read articles that indicate American businesses are going to suffer from this. The deals that we're now doing in Western Europe that are going into Iran are going to stop, and other businesses outside America are going to pick up those deals. The money that Iran already got, it's too late. We can't get it back. That's done. So the best thing would be threaten to leave the agreement and then see if we can't get a new agreement that lasts longer, that maybe has tighter restrictions on their nuclear program. But to just leave it might not really work out for us that well.
What do you think, Mike Opelka?
Yeah, and that seems to be the indication that Macron and President Trump have given, that the best solution would be to add a new agreement to this. And I know Israel is pretty much demanding we leave the agreement, but you do have to look at the other implications. It's not just whether or not Iran will have the ability at the end of this deal to then accelerate their program and get to a nuclear weapon quickly, or whether or not they've had a secret program. But it is about the region. Now, I also think that we need to watch both Israel and Saudi Arabia, because the Saudis are more upset and nervous about Iran than the Israelis are. And I think they're a bigger threat in some ways. The Israelis have more concerns over Hezbollah, I think, which is getting help from Iran. But the Saudi kingdom, and especially MBS, the new crown prince, he's not real keen on Iran getting any kind of break in any corner of the planet. So I know he would like us to get rid of the deal too. But as you've astutely pointed out, we can't cut off American business just to satisfy our friends in the Middle East.
Yeah, the other thing is the Iranians, and this may be negotiating, but after Macron was here and floated out this idea of a new superseding agreement that would last longer, publicly, President Rouhani of Iran talked to Macron and said, no, we're not interested in doing that. Now, that just may be negotiating. They may be open to it. Although, what is it that we would dangle in front of them to sweeten the deal? We've already returned $150 billion of their money. We've lifted all the sanctions. Yeah, we could put American sanctions back on, which hurts American business. But England, France, Germany, they're not going to reimpose sanctions. They're making money in Iran. The Boeing deal to sell airplanes to Iran, if we cancel that through putting sanctions back on, Airbus will move in and take over the contract, and they'll make the money.
Mm-hmm. It's also tweaked the price of oil, as West Texas crude is now spiked over 70 bucks a barrel. And we're seeing oil up at a higher rate. And it is because Iran's oil is important to the overall market. So this isn't just as simple as going in and tearing it up. And now, John, let me ask you this. What's your opinion of the revelation that former Secretary of State John Kerry has been holding back-channel negotiations with the Iranians?
Well, I mean, he's one of the authors of this deal. He thinks he wants to keep the thing in place as is. I've never heard ever of a former Secretary of State running around post-tenure trying to keep a deal that he put in place.
I agree.
I never heard of such a thing before. I've known John Kerry for 30 years. He's a complete weasel, so it doesn't surprise me.
Well, don't hold back. You know, don't squelch your opinions. That's only going to hurt
inside.
Well,
it's Monday. I'm trying to soft sell it on Monday, you know?
Well, the excuse that I'm hearing through the diplomatic channels I talk to is he's claiming he's negotiating on behalf of the Europeans and not on behalf of America.
Really?
Right. Yeah, sure.
I don't buy it.
Well, I don't think anybody's buying it.
We do have the English Foreign Minister, Boris Johnson, coming, I think, today to Washington and meet the president. And he's the guy who sort of looks like a matched twin of Trump with the hair and everything. He used to be the mayor of London, and he's the foreign minister. And he is coming to urge Trump not to leave the Iran deal. So there's a lot of pressure, a lot of sides to this thing. I think we're definitely leaving the deal. But what's going to happen after that is what replaces it.
Yeah, will there be something that sits in its place that keeps everybody happy? And no one's ever happy all the time. So I'm dubious. I'd like to see it go away. Because Chris Coons, my senator, told me, well, yeah, it's a bad deal, but it's better than no deal. And I said, no, a bad marriage is definitely not preferred over no marriage. Why should everybody be unhappy?
Well, here's the thing about this deal. No one, including Israel, is currently claiming that Iran has an active nuclear program. Yeah, last week Netanyahu came out and showed that years ago they lied about what they had in Iran prior to this agreement. But there are inspections going on now, and nobody is claiming they are violating this agreement. So we're going to risk that. They will start violating it when they know that Trump is pulled out of it. We're going to abrogate that agreement and relaunch their nuclear program. And that is why when you mention the Saudis, what we ought to really be aware of is they're going to start developing or buying nuclear weapons.
Sure.
And we're going to inadvertently, by pulling out of this deal, launch a nuclear arms race among the Arab countries in the Middle East to oppose the Persian atom bomb.
Well, to quote the late, great Tom Lehrer, who's next? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, we've got about 3 minutes left. Rudy Giuliani and also the North Korea summit. We understand that's kind of set now, right, in terms of, you know, where they may meet, et cetera.
Yeah.
We haven't been told.
Trump said they've got a place and a time. going to be after May 22nd when South Korean President Moon comes here to see Trump. So late May, early June, and it's going to be at the DMZ.
That's what you think?
We know that.
All right. Yep. What about Giuliani? It seems like he's backtracking just a tad. His personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, Trump's lawyer, doesn't know about attorney Michael Cohen making any payments to other women on behalf of the president. He was on ABC's This Week over the weekend. He said Cohen made payments for Trump and conducted business for the president, which means he had legal fees and other expenditures. You know, a lot of people are very skeptical about, you know, this whole deal, but I would say that we know a lot of people who have so much money that they really don't know where all the payments that go. What do you think about this scenario? I don't know what we want to call this whole Rudy Giuliani payment thing.
I think the interesting contest besides this Iran nuke deal on Saturday is does Rudy Giuliani make it to the end of this week as Trump's lawyer? I honestly don't think he's going to last much longer. I think this was an embarrassment for everybody concerned, and it's not helping Trump's legal situation either. And I think he'll realize it. And he runs through the people like he ran through the mooch. They last 10 or 11 days, and then he gets another one, which is why he can't get any good lawyers.
Because the good lawyers are nervous to work with him because they don't think they'll have a job. Maybe he should look into an attorney similar to Stormy Daniels' attorney, who I don't think is met a TV camera that he didn't like. I mean, my gosh, you see that guy more than Don Lemon on TV.
Yeah, but he's good. That's the difference. Is he's
you
got
think?
A message. He's directed. He's focused. He's the one guy who's gone right up into Donald Trump's face. And Trump has never mentioned that guy, never come back at him, never written a tweet about him. Trump's afraid of him. That guy is tough.
I think he's a little weaselly.
Well, maybe. You don't think Trump is weaselly? Come on. And the way to handle a bully is to punch him right in the face. And
I don't
Avenatti
know. I feel
is
like-
punching Trump every day right in the face. And it's working for him. And it's working for his client.
I feel Avenatti probably hasn't met a mirror that he didn't dislike either. I mean, that guy is really taken with himself. It's distracting he likes himself so much. Thank you, John.